Stand, if you would, please, for the reading of God's Word today. Familiar passage, Genesis 27. Verse 21 is where we'll begin reading. Genesis 27:21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son, Esau, or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him, and he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he, that is Jacob, said, I am. For a few moments from this passage on the subject, are you really who you say that you are? In this passage here, Jacob is deceiving his father, Isaac, who's nearly blind, and his father says, are you really Esau? You sure don't sound like Esau. You sound like Jacob. And he failed him, and he said, well, you feel like Esau, but you don't sound like Esau. Are you really who you say you are? Are you really Esau? And Jacob lies and says to his father in our text, I am. Art thou my very son Esau? Are you really who you say you are? And he said, I am. I want to ask you today, from my heart to your heart, with your eternity at stake, are you really who you say that you are? You say you are a Christian. Are you really who you say that you are? I want to give you some Bible evidences of salvation. These are simple. And there are more than I have time to give. But when I finish in a few moments, I want you to realize that all of these that I'm about to mention will be present in the life of a Christian. Of course, the longer you're saved, the more evident these will be. But it's either all or none. All or none. You're either saved and you have these evidences, or you're not saved and you'll have none of these evidences. No, not one. Are you really who you say that you are? It is easy to say, I am a Christian. A lot of people say that. Men running for political office say, I'm a Christian. That sounds good. It just sounds good. We say we're a Christian nation. And we used to be. But let's bring it right down personally. Are you really who you say you are? Number one, I want to ask you, where did you get saved? You may not remember if it was a Monday or a Tuesday. You may not remember the when. And it's possible that you don't remember anything. Maybe that something mentally has taken place and you don't remember anything. But for most people who are saved, you can at least remember the where. The where. Were you at church? Surely you'd remember if you were at home or at church or where you were. It didn't happen in your sleep. It did not happen without your willingness, without your faith, without your honesty, and without your repentance. It did not happen by accident. It did not happen because somebody else wanted you to be saved, or because somebody else prayed. No. Untold millions are just religious, not saved, just religious. Religious but lost, church members. A lot of them good moral people, sincere people. A lot of them Baptist people. A lot of them just trusting in their good living. Maybe their baptism. There are millions of people trusting in their name on a church roll. Their grandpa gave the land. They give to charity. They believe in God. They come to church every once in a while. Surely God wouldn't let good people go to hell. How many millions there are trusting in their infant baptism, which their own church records say grafts you into the body of Christ. I quote Guthrie. He said that's a horrible Roman Catholic superstition. And he practiced it himself. So from a man who practiced infant baptism, he said it's a horrible thing. Why? Because you're told that you're a member of the church. You're grafted in. Your parents were Christians. That makes you a Christian. A lot of people have different vain hopes. Some trusting in their communion. Delusions. I remember a funeral years ago. This man died young. And the minister at the funeral said, "We're sure that this young man is in heaven." After the service, a friend of mine went up to that minister and said, "You said that you were sure that this young man died and went to heaven. How do you know?" He said, "Well, I know. I baptized him myself and he's just a little baby." That's what he said. That's what he said. Well, are you really who you say you are? Did you ever have a life-changing, born-again experience, or are you just religious? What's your testimony? Where was your place? When was your time? Are you really who you say you are? Number two, and quickly, do you have fruit? I mean, if you got saved, now you're spiritually alive and you have the capacity to bear fruit. To show the reality of your profession by your life. Good works are not the cause of salvation, but they are the result. I'll just let you hear how the Holy Ghost says it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The fruit. The result of the indwelling Holy Ghost. Are these in your life? Or are they absent? I know Christian growth is slow, but it's also sure. You don't grow up overnight. I remember some of my aunts, every Christmas, we wouldn't see some of them from Grandpa's birthday and August the 1st till December the 25th. And they'd say to me and my brother, "Oh, how you've grown." And we'd look at each other and say, "We didn't know it. You don't see people grow, but over weeks and months, you can tell the difference." I'll tell you how to know if you're really saved. You're growing. You're learning. You're a better Christian than you've ever been before. You've got love in your life and peace and joy and meekness and temperance and all these other graces imparted by the Holy Ghost. Growth is slow, but it's sure, and growth is a sign of life. You cannot grow if you're not alive. That's why that rock will never be any bigger than it is. It's not alive. And these folks that never grow, never got saved. And you can't grow if you're not alive. I know it takes time for the full bloom. But if you're the same person you was before, you never got saved. You never got saved. Oh, you can say it all day long, but don't make it so. You can say you're Esau all day long, but that don't make it so. God didn't make it hard to be saved. It's just we interfere with it. If you find it hard, if you find every day of your life, if you find it a struggle to live the Christian life, maybe you never got saved because you can't be a Christian till you become one. It's impossible. You're trying to live a life you don't possess. God never meant for it to be, I'm not saying it's easy, but His commandments are not grievous. And greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And all these things were more than conquerors. And if you don't even have the want to, you never got saved. You never got saved. If you don't have the want to, you never got saved. God don't give but one kind of salvation. There ain't one for the Baptists, one for the Presbyterians, one for the Methodists, and one for the Anglicans. There's one Bible salvation that gives you a want to. The Bible calls it a divine nature that makes you want to live right. And if you don't, and we all fail sometimes, either you will confess and repent or God will chastise you. Hebrews 12, that's another evidence. I don't even have time to develop that. But you can know that you're saved. You can know that you're not. Christians practice kindness. They practice meekness, holiness, prayerfulness. You know what's wrong with people that are proud all the time and wicked and drunk and rebellious? Look at me, I'm telling you. They never got saved. You say, I don't believe that. Well, just let the Holy Ghost talk to you again. That's why our church is in bad shape. We've got a bunch of lost people trying to have church, trying to lead churches. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you practice a lifestyle of sin, you never got saved. We all sin occasionally, but I'm talking about people that sit down and map it out and plan it and get other people to do it, and they're glad about it and they brag about it. You're not going to heaven. I'll let the words of the Bible shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Thank God we're not what we used to be. Nobody's any better than anybody else, but thank God when you get saved, you'll not practice a lifestyle of sin. You'll not want to. You can't have the Holy Ghost in here and want to practice a lifestyle of sin. It don't go together. I must hurry. So you can't do wrong and get by. Number three, you say that you're a Christian. But what's your attitude toward the Bible? 1 John 2 says, we know that we know Him because we keep His commandments. You know how you know you're saved? You love the Bible. You're willing to obey the Bible. You reverence the Bible. You want to keep the commandments. You fail, but the desire is there. You know what's wrong with these Bible critics that write a new Bible every month? They don't know the author. You would be afraid, according to Revelation 22, to add one word or take one word away. So what's your attitude toward the Bible? Do you have an appetite? You don't have to sit down newborn babes and say, okay, now if you're going to stay alive, you're going to have an appetite. They have an appetite a year before they know what that word means. That's an indication of life and health and appetite. These people that can just take it or miss it, church, the Bible, take it or miss it, no appetite, just a little Christmas sermon will last them till next Christmas, they never got saved. Because they have no appetite. Do you know how you know you're sick? No appetite. You don't even want to smell food, let alone eat. Your appetite is a gauge of your health and your life. You know how you're running good as a Christian? You just can't get enough of that Bible. Every day. You just love it. And saved people actually love to hear the Bible taught and preached, and they don't resent it. I'll tell you what's wrong with people. It's always kicking against the preacher. They need to get saved. Yeah. You're looking at a man that loves preaching. Every day of my life. I need it. I love it. It's food for my soul. Saved people love the Bible. It's a treasure to them. A love letter, an instruction manual, a light, a comfort. As Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You love the Bible. Number four. You say you're saved. Are you really? Well, you'll love God's people. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. 1 John 3:14. You'll love Christians. You'll want to be around Christians. You'll want to go to church. You'll want to pray for people, pray with people, and help people. You know how before you got saved, some of you remember, you hated Christians. You despised to see them. You didn't want to see them. You'd walk on the other side of the road. You knew that you needed to get saved and you wasn't ready to get saved, and you talked about them and you lied about them, and when one of them messed up, you laughed and told everybody else. You hated Christians. Then when you get saved, everything changes, and they're your family and they're your brother and they're your sister, and if you can't stand up every now and then like Lynn Herman and say, I love everybody, something's the matter with you. And it's high time you found out before you open your eyes in hell and find out that you just got a counterfeit. You just had an emotional experience. I'm getting ready to give you four or five examples of people. I'm telling you there's a counterfeit gospel, a counterfeit Bible, counterfeit preachers, counterfeit church. Everything the Lord's got, the devil's got a counterfeit, and the counterfeit looks like the real thing, and they call it the real thing, and they count on the fact that the average man does not know the difference. You get good and saved, you want to get baptized, join the church, and do your part. Yeah, you will. The Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Did you know you can pray and not get saved? Religious people pray all the time. Sure they do. They stand together and recite what they call the Lord's Prayer, and they pray and genuflect, and they all go down at the right time, up at the right time. You can even come to an altar and pray. I remember a man, he came to me, he said, I want to get saved. He didn't really want to get saved. Somebody had died in his family, and his emotions were running really high. And he thought, I'm a sorry sinner, and I need to get saved. You know what? You know how long it lasted? About 2 minutes. And that's been 6 years ago, and he hadn't been back to church since. Oh, he prayed. He prayed. But he didn't pray because he was a worthless rebel in the sight of God. He just prayed because somebody had died in his family. And it was all emotions. It's all emotions. I'm thinking of a fellow I know right now. Oh, he cried. He went to an altar. He cried. It was at a vacation Bible school. And they, you know, they just, I don't know if they were doing it just for the numbers, but he wasn't ready to get saved. He didn't understand he was a sinner and Jesus died and rose again. He didn't understand the simple gospel. And for many years, he thought he was saved. He claimed to be saved because they told him he was saved. But then, thank God, one day he realized, I've never been saved. If I called his name, every one of you would know him. You can believe Jesus died and rose again. The devil believes that, but he ain't saved. I'm thinking of a preacher right now. He even preached. He wasn't saved. Wasn't saved. I've told you this, but he realized one day, my heart is filled with hate. I couldn't be a Christian. And finally, he got saved. And then God really called him to preach. Percy Ray. That's his testimony. Read it for yourself. He believed all the fundamentals. He believed Jesus died, rose again, but he never trusted Christ. You can come to the altar. I believe in the altar, but coming to the altar don't save you. Okay? Carl Woodbury believed all the elements of the gospel, came to an altar. He too was a Baptist preacher who finally got saved. You know, you can get inoculated with a mild form of something, and that'll immunize you against ever getting the real thing. And you can know the words and the terms and know what to say and hello and God bless you, brother, and know the songs, and it never be real in your heart. And if you don't love God's people and love the Bible, as I've just mentioned, and I'll mention a few more things, maybe that's a wake-up call. I don't know who's saved. Mother Teresa, of course, she was not a Christian. But for all her fame and all of her good works, she said, "My life is cold and empty." Unquote. Why? Because all she had was religion. Never was saved. Wasn't even a good Catholic because he told Hindus they could stay Hindus and they'd be all right. That's what she said. Is there in your heart today a love for God's people? Are you really who you say you are? How about seeing other people saved? Do you know when you get saved, you want to see other people saved? That's a good way you know you're saved. I mean, I got saved when I was 9 years old, and the very, probably the same day, if not that day, the very next day, I started praying for people that were lost by name to get saved. Nobody had to set me down and say, that's what you do. I just knew this is wonderful. I want other people to get saved, and I started praying for them. And if it don't bother you and you never want anybody to get saved, you don't ever pray for anybody, and when people do get saved, you sit back there like a wooden Indian, you need to get saved, friend. You ain't got what I got. You just didn't get it. I'm sorry. Because when you get saved, you want other people to get saved. And when they do get saved, you will rejoice that they got saved. And these people that never witness, never pray for anybody, never invite anybody to church, never rejoice when people get saved, you want to tell me that's salvation? I'd never believe it. Never believe it. Do you care a burden for other people? Do you want other people to get saved? Do you care? If you're saved, you care. Finally, real Christians have the inward witness of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God, Romans 8. I don't care how many preachers tell you you're saved, that don't make you saved. The Holy Ghost will tell you that you're saved. The inward witness. He bears witness. He tells you. You could tell me a million times, Alan, you're not saved. I would laugh in your face. Because God, the Holy Ghost, has done told me Himself a million times that I'm saved. I'm growing. I'm learning. I love God's people. He whoops me when I do wrong. I know I'm saved. I want you to know you're saved. And if you're saved, the Holy Ghost in you will witness to you. When you're lost, your spirit is dead. When you get saved, your spirit becomes alive. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, tells your spirit that you're saved. He teaches you, enables you, warns you, directs you, comforts you, everything you need. And you'll know. There's no way that you can be saved and not know it. I mean, when the devil moves out, Jesus moves in, the guilt is gone, there's a song in your lips, you want Jesus to come, you love Jesus, you hate sin, all these things are in your life, you're going to know. I mean, you know if you got a job, don't you know if you're married or not, you know where you live. Well, don't tell me that you don't know if you're saved or not. If you don't know, you just never got it. I'm trying to help you. I love you. I'm just afraid a lot of people are not who they say they are. They're just not. They're just none of these things are there. I'll tell you what they do. They look at other people and say, well, I'm as good as so-and-so. I'm as good as so-and-so. Well, that's not the question. That's got nothing to do with it. Our churches are full of lost people. B.R. Lakin preached all over America for 50 years. He said the average Baptist church is 70% lost. I don't know. That's what he said. But why is it that some people have a desire to live right, and the other people they're just not going to do it. You can't talk them into it. You got to beg them, and they feel like they're doing God a favor just by coming to church for 1 hour on a Sunday morning. What's wrong there? I'll tell you what's wrong. Some people are not who they say they are. Bud Robinson said he preached in a church, 1,000 members. He said he preached the simple gospel. He said they came up to me by the dozens and the hundreds. He said before the week was out, 500 people of that church admitted to me they had never been saved. Church members admitted they had never been saved. That's half the members. Half the members. And then that many admitted it. I don't know how many didn't admit it. He said 500 admitted it. But they'd never been saved. So if you're saved today, every one of these things is in your life. I'm almost done. There was a place. You've got a testimony. You're learning. You're growing. You've got an appetite. You love the Bible. You love Christians. You love sinners. And the Holy Ghost inside of you tells you personally you're saved. And when you do wrong, the Holy Ghost tells you, and if you don't repent, He whoops you. The Father. Hebrews 12. Now, that's not a pick and choose list. Every single one of those will be in your life. All of them. Or none. If you're not saved, none of that applies. None of it. You couldn't have any of that in your life. None of it. None. There are more evidences. I'm out of time. I'll just mention this and I'm done. Another evidence that you're saved is this. You will believe right. You'll believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You'll believe in the deity of Christ, His virgin birth. You'll believe in His death and resurrection. You'll believe in the blood that redeems. You won't have any trouble believing the gospel or the word of God for that matter. You will believe right. You cannot be a born-again Christian if you're a liberal denying who Jesus is, denying His resurrection, denying the Trinity. There's no way. You'll believe right. We may not cross every T, but if the Holy Ghost is teaching us, we ought to cross every T the same way. He's certainly not going to tell you one thing and tell me something else. Are you really who you say you are? The world hates us. Back in July, a bunch of students at a state university leaked out something that was on their psychology test. They had taken an online course at Ohio State University. And it was a slur and slam against Christians. There was a question on the test that said, Theo's IQ is 100 and Ayn's IQ is 125. And then had four choices. Is one of them a liberal? Is Theo smarter? Is Theo dumber? Theo represented Christians. Theo God. And the answer was, Ayn is smarter, has a higher IQ, the atheist. So the whole idea was Christians are dumb. Christians have a lower IQ than atheists. And then the man who reported this and it was published all over the country said, well, I'm not surprised that there's an anti-Christian bias everywhere. Can I say something? Can I say that between a Christian and an atheist, can I say who the real dummy is? We'll just let the Holy Ghost say it. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14. The world says, we're dummies. Dummies. Dummies for coming to church and believing this book, believing in the God that made everything, believing in Christ who died and rose again. But one day, and I hope they find out before it's too late, but one day they're going to find out who the real fools are. That's right. Are you really who you say you are? You say, Brother Allen, the Lord's troubled me. I'm not so sure I'm really saved. Well, I don't know. Ask Him. He'll tell you. I'm just begging you, don't pretend. Don't deceive yourself. Do you know how religious you can be and not be saved? John Wesley was as righteous outwardly a man as walked upon this earth. They called his club the Holy Club at Oxford. There was no sin they would dare commit. They prayed for hours a day. Went to church and John Wesley preached all over Britain. Even had a missionary zeal and was on his way to America. And there was a storm on the boat. And he was afraid he was going to die. And he thought, I'm a Christian. Why should I be afraid to die? And he saw these Quakers who were not afraid to die. And he thought, there must be something wrong. I am afraid to die. And by the way, there's another evidence you're saved. You're not afraid to die. Amen. You're not, you don't want to die, but you're not afraid. Amen. Not afraid. John Wesley said, I'm going to convert the Indians in Georgia, but who shall convert me? He finally got saved, thank God. Laid aside all his goodness, all his prayers, all his religion, and just simply trusted in Christ and in Him alone. And he said, my heart was strangely warmed. He got saved. But he would have died and gone to hell as religious and as good a man as you ever met in your life. Because he wasn't trusting in Jesus. He's trusting in his good family name. Oh, his mother, Susanna, she was as good as they come. And his daddy was a preacher. And he never committed sin outwardly. But he never was saved. I don't know today. I don't know. Only you know and God knows. The first step is to be honest about it. And be honest about it. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.